Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Carly. It's Monday, the 26th of August. It's very, very sad. Summer is almost over and I'm not liking it. I'm enjoying the nice hot weather, and this program, though, we are here every day this week. We have guests every day this week. I cannot believe that, but we do. And today I am so excited, a little nervous, because we are interviewing Lane Curtis, and she's in my favorite movie, 16 Candles, which I think they wrote about me, even though I was young, but 16 Candles actually happened to me. And Benny and June, and she's been in so many great. They go to Lyder Knox Landing. Yeah, which she was excellent in, by the way, people. Son of August 3, which she was really, really good. So let's bring on Lainey. Hey, Lainey.
Hi, Carly. What an amazing intro. Hi.
Oh,
nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, we are more than happy to. And I just want to say 16 Candles is one of my favorite movies, but my whole complaint on the 16 Candles thing is it happened to me. It happened to me almost the same way the movie did, because I was 16, my brother was graduating. I woke up that morning and no one wished me happy birthday. It took my family all day to realize it was my birthday. It was like, remind them. I mean, they keep forgetting about my birthday. They are bad when it comes to my birthday, because it's the 9th and they have like this mental block, I think. I don't know. But when I was 16, I'm like, oh God, I'm already reading 16 Candles. Oh my God, this is not funny. But you were so good in 16 Candles. I loved it. I mean, I have watched it so many times. I mean, too many times to admit on air, because, there's a lot of, I've seen it more than 100.
Wow.
So it's one of the cult classics. So my first question is, how did you like to be known that you were part of one of the biggest cult classics, I think there was, back then? How did you feel about being a part of that?
Well, I can tell you that when I get to meet new friends, specifically I'm talking about you now, Carly, when I get the warmest, most loving welcome, I feel so loved by you right now, that right there, it when it's that personal to somebody, it just makes my heart so happy. It gives me such an elevated emotion. It brings happy tears to my eyes, and I know that's maybe kind of a little corny, but God, thank you so much. That is just so loving. Like, and when people respond in this loving way, it makes me so incredibly honored and privileged feeling to have been involved with a movie that has moved or made people feel better, or whatever personal experience any one of the fans of the movie has had as a result of watching it. So thank you so much. It makes me so happy. So incredibly,
well,
genuinely happy.
Did you guys know when you were filming that movie that, oh my gosh, this is going to be maybe 30 years from now, 20 years from now, that kids are going to pick up and actually fall in love with. And did you know it was going to be as big as it is?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Nope. For me, it was my second big movie. I had only done Baby, It's You for John Sayles at that point. And then I don't remember if I did the movie Hard Choices before that. It's kind of a blur, I'm so sorry to say. But, you know, it was my first experience on a Universal film, like a studio film. So I knew it was a studio film, so that made it a little bit more likely for somebody to do something with it than had it been just an independent film. Baby, It's You started out independent, and then I think before we were done shooting, they ended up making a deal with Paramount. So it wasn't a studio film. It was an independent film, but a studio eventually grabbed it to distribute it. So that's slightly different. I don't think anybody had an idea. I'm sure John Hughes hoped, because he had written the script for the movie Vacation. So that was a pretty big deal. So.
I mean, when you look back, and the movie was 1984. I mean, just, thinking 1984 seems like forever ago, but, it was. But, I mean, 16 Candles is still on all the time. In fact, I have it on my TiVo to be recorded this Saturday, because I was hoping it would be on before you came on, but it wasn't, which, I kindly wrote on Twitter that, they should put 16 Candles on whenever I need to see it, but, no one is listening to me on it, so, I can't, I watch it whenever it's on. I mean, it's one of those movies that, even though you've seen 100 times, you are going to see it again. So, for me, it's just, I think, you guys did a great job. And, for me, generation, that movie is going to carry over probably for the next 100 years, because it's one of a movie that everyone can relate to. And I think, it was just really well done, and it was just really funny. And, how I was working with Molly Ringwong, because I love her. How was that? How was, because you were her, best friend in the film. So how was that?
It was fabulous. We got to hang out with each other and learn about each other for about 2 weeks before we started. So we kind of had to pack a whole lot of getting to know all about you into 2 weeks. And that was fun. We got to go to the mall, and we hung out poolside, and we talked, and she shared music with me, and we got to sort of draw on our three-ring binders, and we just sort of got to be teenagers together a little bit for 2 weeks before we jumped into shooting. And then I was there for about half of the shoot, and when I was done shooting my part, I went home. So she probably, minute for minute, spent way more time with Mike, Anthony Michael Hall. But the time I spent with her was unforgettable. I will never, ever, ever forget it.
And have you guys ran into each other, through the years? I mean,
Not so much. I found out that she was singing, because she has a beautiful jazz repertoire, and she performs live all over the U.S., as well as, I think, probably tours with her books, because she's also written books. She's very prolific. But I went to one of her live shows at a hotel in Santa Monica a few years back, and I brought my lovely daughter, who's now 20 years old, to see her, and it was really very, very, very lovely. The setting was fabulous, and in between sets, I went and said hi to her, and she was very warm and friendly. I got to meet her husband, and as it turns out, we share the same veterinarian, VCA Wilshire. So I think, unless she doesn't have it anymore, that's where she takes her Pomeranian, and it's where I take my dog and my cat. So kind of funny that,
how
many years later we have the same vet.
And, you know, you've done so much in your career, and I'm surprised you haven't done daytime yet. I am really surprised by, you know, everything you've done in movies, and you were in one of my favorite episodes of ER. You know, thank you for having, you know, you in two episodes, by the way, because it made me really happy. And, you know, I watched ER like every, you know, it was like my Thursday. If I never missed it. If I missed it, there would have been heck to pay. So really, I never missed it. But I loved you on ER. I thought.
Thank you so much,
really
Carly.
Good.
I really. I hope that you
really
didn't. You weren't trying to watch that while you were eating. Were you? I hope you weren't trying to eat food while you were watching that, because I had a pretty kind of gross moment on that show.
Mm-hmm. You did. And I say when I was watching, I'm like, you know, she should go try and be with those cleaning for a little while. I mean, you know, I was just trying to get you in those cleaning, you know, paired up. So you will have a longer one. You're welcome, but no one listened to me. So, you know, it was, you know, great for you to be on ER. And, I mean, you know, and also Benny and Zune, oh, my gosh, this is another one of my favorite movies. How was that? Because you were excellent in that. And, again, that's one of my favorite movies. So how was doing that?
I loved that film. That film came at a time in my life where I was having kind of a hard time. I was a mom of two kids, and my husband, we were struggling a little bit. And I remember when I booked that job, and I was so grateful. And then I panicked because I realized I had to go and fly away and be away from my, I think he was 10 months old, my middle child, Logan. And that was just such a heart rip. Heart aches. I can remember how, I guess, separation anxiety. I had major separation anxiety from my kids on that shoot. But everybody was so kind. I hung out with Dan Hedaya and Joe Grafasi a lot, and they introduced me to Copper River salmon, which is really, really good if you're a fish eater. And it only happens in May, June, like that. What else do I remember? I remember we were there in June, so there was a cherry tree in front of the house where we were shooting, and we had fresh cherries just dropping, and that was lovely. It was amazing. Mary Stuart Masterson was so nice to me. She saw that I was homesick, and she just handed me her, a brick phone. I don't know, like if you see movies from the 80s and 90s, you can see these big giant phones that look like giant bricks. That's what she was using, but I got to use her brick phone a couple times to call home. And Johnny Depp, that was the second time I worked with him. He actually remembered me from 21 Jump Street at the table read and was just so kind and gentle. And I would imagine that he's the same way now. Like if I were to run into him, I'm sure he'd remember.
Well, try running into him. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I mean, funny. I mean, that's another, you know, one of the movies that, you know, when Davis said that, oh, by the way, we are interviewing Lainey, I go, okay, that is not funny to kid around. Listen, even when we are interviewing her, and I was glad I was laying on my bed, because if I was standing, I would have probably been fainting, and it would have been really, David's fault for making me faint, which I blame David on a lot of things. Hello, David.
Mr. Burgess.
Yes. He's incredible, and he and Brian are the PR guys right now. So just when David got it, I'm like, oh, you did such a good job. So I was very proud of him. And, you know, with all your movies and stuff, but you were also on Knox Landing for one episode.
I remember that.
One episode, people, they could have just gave you like two or three episodes. But how was going from the movies to, you know, Nine Times Soap, how was that?
Well, it's sort of the same on things like Knot's Landing, because you're on a set and they shoot it like a film. But things like Married with Children, not so much. That's done in front of a live studio audience with three different cameras, and they're all shooting at different angles at the same time. So that then gets edited in about 4 days, and then they flip it to have it on every week, you know? So that's slightly different, slightly different. The live stuff made me a little more nervous because clearly there's a live audience. But Knot's Landing was good. I didn't really have too hard a time making the flip to TV and episodic. It was okay because I had fun. It was so much fun that I didn't notice how nervous I was.
Well, I mean, that's good that you didn't notice how nervous you were, but you did a really good job on that movie. I loved it. And also, you know, I mean, you've done so many movies, but I just want to say that I followed your daughter's career on American Idol. I mean, at first I didn't know she was your daughter because of the last name.
Right.
I tried to keep it all about her.
I tried to keep it like that, you know, and I kept very tight-lipped about who I was and what I did. And funny, about halfway through Hollywood week, one of the moms just looked at me across the dinner table, like the kids got to eat at the kids' table and the moms were at the mom's table, and one of the moms just looks at me, she's like, I know who you are, and I was like, oh no.
But
they were all really friendly about it. Like, I just kind of didn't want to be like, you know, one of these things is not like the other, uh-oh. Yeah, no, I really wanted to blend in.
You can tell if the other ones that come on the show, she did amazing. I was very proud of her. You know,
Thank you.
I thought she too won, but that's just me being, you know, me and hoping she, you know, could just, you know, won the whole thing. America screwed up on the voting, America. And, you know, it's probably really hard because she's in the singing and you were in the movies. And I can see why you didn't want to, you know, really rub that out, because you kind of want your kid to have their own career, even though if their mom and dad are in the movies or in the same business or, you know, going into the entertainment.
It's kind of like that in our family,
so
too.
I totally did what you did. I totally would have done the same thing.
Right.
And also, before I bring the boys on, because the boys will kill me, I don't want to die today. The line of fire you were on was really good, and, you know, you played a hooker on that, by the way.
I did. I had one or two lines.
Really good. And I really liked it. So how was that experience?
I really liked that. It was short and sweet. And the director was lovely. And I had a very quick but very almost terse conversation with him. But it was kind of good because it gave me an idea of, you know, who these guys are and how fast-paced and what a different vibe and point of view they have to have as far as navigating through production. You know, actors show up and we just have lines and we have to look a certain way. I mean, it's more than that, of course, but there are just so many plates spinning for producer, director, people. Like, I'm learning this now because my mom's a jazz composer. So kind of the same thing. I was Paulette's daughter, and I kept the name Curtis. But my mom is Rubensteiner Gerard in the business. She's a jazz composer and did Broadway shows. So that's probably why I went to acting, is because I didn't want to do music. But then it's funny how my daughter does both, but she prefers music to acting, and I wonder if, like, it's just because I was more acting than music, although now I just do both right across the board. Funny. Three generations.
Well, yeah, I totally give why you did that. I just think it's really cool and, you know, a really great thing to do just so your kid can have their own career. And I'm going to bring on Bobby before Bobby doesn't love me anymore. Hey, Bobby.
Bobby,
hey,
come here, Bobby.
Hey,
where
how
are
you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I think I barely remember you from 16 Candles. I know who Molly Ringwald is, but I barely remember you from that movie because it's been years since I've seen that film.
All right, well, you know what? I think something tells me if you hang out with Carly, she may have it on her TiVo here very soon, and you could watch it with her because I have a feeling that might be happening again very soon from what she said.
Well, I'm gonna search Netflix to see if it's streaming, and I'll just make sure I get to watching that later on this weekend, or try to order it off of Netflix if there's a DVD copy of the film.
I'm sure... Where there's a will, there's a way, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure
one of the services has to have it.
I'm sure that somebody on Amazon or eBay has a copy of 16 Candles, and it's been what? How long have it been? Because it was out, what, 1986 or 85?
Wow, 83, 84, right around there. It's been a minute.
Yeah, because I think there was, I think I may have gotten, because I think Pretty in Pink, the other film that Molly was in, was in 86. But I'm trying to remember if your film came out, 16 Candles came out right after that time. I think so.
I could cheat. I could go get one of my cell phones and I could cheat and look and ask Siri.
No, that's okay.
No?
That's
we're
okay.
Good? Okay, never mind. We're not going to involve
fine.
Siri. She gets enough attention. My turn.
Yeah. I can always ask my Alexa app, but I don't want to just disturb it right now. But that's okay. But I can also look up Wikipedia over the history of Molly Ringwald's films and just come across it. So the next time you come on the show, I'll be more prepared.
Uh-oh, there's a next time? Really? Look at you. Do you hear the smile on my face? I love you guys. You guys are so loving and kind.
Well, you know, you never know. And you're always welcome back onto the show.
Well, thank you.
But I wanted to say, I didn't know your daughter is a talented singer because I know that some of the stars from American Idol and even some from The Voice have gone on to do acting gigs because there have been a few just this past year that came off of American Idol that have been involved in daytime television because one of them is currently on a soap right now and the other one just left a soap, if I'm not mistaken correctly, Carly. Am I correct? Carly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not mistaken that there's two stars from Days of one star from Days of Our Lives that came from American Idol and another one that just left Young and Restless that came from American Idol.
Oh, okay. Do you have any more questions for Lainey?
But I just want to ask Lainey one more question before I go.
Ask away.
All right.
Wait, why do you have to go? Can we only have one extra person on at a time?
No, I just don't want to take up the rest of the show.
Okay.
But is there any possibility of getting your daughter involved in acting if she decided she wanted to become an actor and a singer anytime soon?
You know what? Her love of her life, the love in her life is music right now. That's not saying that she doesn't also act. She does have a theatrical agent, and she goes out on commercial auditions a lot. When she was younger, she did a Domino's commercial right before American Idol, I think she did that Domino's commercial. And she's done a movie when she was little. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you will see her on a screen somewhere again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess that's it, because most of the questions have been already answered by Carly, and I'm sure the next caller will also ask the same question. So you have a great night, and tell your daughter I said hello. I will. And I just hope that she, and I wish her the best of luck in music or acting or whatever she wants to do.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much, Bobby. It was really nice to meet you and talk to you. I appreciate you.
Okay, you have a good one.
Okay, you too, honey.
Bye.
Okay, Bobby, I'm going to put you on hold, and here comes David. Hey, David.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. What's going on, Mr. B?
I think they're going well.
Yeah? What are you up to today?
Nothing. Just came home from Dallas. I'm resting right now. Come home from Dallas. Watch a little TV.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm doing good. Okay, do you know 16 Candles is one of my favorite movies?
Really?
Yes. So, yeah. Do you have anybody behind-the-scenes secrets that we can know about, like jokes or...
Well, if you promise not to do what I tell you that I did ever, do you promise, you guys? You're not gonna do what I do. Like, in this case, copying me would not be flattering, and you would get in trouble. All right? So don't do what Mama Leanne did when she was not Mama Leanne yet.
Yeah.
I jumped in the pool with all of my clothes on, and I got in trouble with the manager of the hotel, and I had to get talked to by Hilton Green, the executive producer, about how to behave. And it was because my mom – okay, I'll say it was because my mom left. That's not why. It's because I wanted to jump in the pool with all of my clothes on. That's why I did it. But my mom happened to have left on my 18th birthday, which was the day we started shooting. So legally she had to be there with me. But when I turned 18 – bye, Mom. And I went a little cuckoo and turned the dial up on the, you know, inappropro. So Leanne was left loosed on the greater Evanston area and Skokie. So, yeah, you know, I could have listened and been a little better behaved at that age. But I guess I had a lot of energy at that time and it needed to come out. And that's sort of how I chose to do it. Don't jump in a pool with all your clothes on at a nice hotel. Don't do it.
Yeah. Also, you're on my two favorite shows, Married with Children. Now, I'm a big fan of Married with Children. What would you like to work on that?
I loved working on Married with Children. My friend, her name is Tammy Billick. She cast me on that. It was Embassy Television, and it was the first job I booked when I got to Los Angeles. And I remember that audition. I was lined up in front of all the producers. It was fabulous. And then, you know, we got to rehearse a couple times. I didn't have any scenes with Peg or Al, but I did have scenes with the kids and with the neighbors. So, throwing cookies into Noah Blake's mouth. I can tell you that big guy who didn't have many lines, that was my boyfriend, the big, tall, like, boo guy.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready for this? So that was like 1987. Let's fast forward to, gosh, was it 2004, 2005? Right around there. My son comes home from school and says, "Hey, Mom, guess what?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "You know that acting class I'm taking?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know the acting teacher?" I said, "Yeah." Well, I looked him up on IMDb today, and guess who played your boyfriend on Married with Children? I said, "Are you serious? That's why he looked familiar to me?" Because he looked familiar at orientation. I thought, where do I know this guy from? This is driving me nuts. But I didn't put two and two together at all. It was kind of very silly. So how about that? Almost 20 years later, the guy I made out with on the couch was my son's drama teacher at high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, kind of cool how life works, right?
Yep, yep.
All right, what's your next question? Or did I answer that one okay?
Yeah, you want to equalize it. What would like that? What would I do on that? Equalize.
Yes. Nobody asks me about that anymore. I can't say that. That's a lie. You just asked me about that. I love working on that. Edward Woodward was so gracious. One of the classiest people I ever had the privilege and honor of working with alongside. He was so nice. A lot of TV stars, you know, it's all about them. They want the camera angles on them. And, like, if there's an opportunity to get another shot on them, that's what they do. Do you know what Edward did?
Okay.
The camera was set up to be on him. He said, "No, no, no, you guys see enough of me. Put it on her. She's prettier." So, you know, very gracious to the point where he even decided to bow out of a visual setup and allow me the space alone. Very, very kind human being. Very lovely actor. Very lovely human being.
Yeah. But yeah. Do you have another film that you're proud of that you did besides Giant?
It's really kind of sad that I have to say Girlfriend from Hell, because I think that was the movie that the character of Maggie, well, after she was possessed. I really didn't have to act too much to play Maggie. I'm still kind of like Maggie, but I try to rein it in when it's necessary. Then I also try to get out of those situations as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Well, you're great. Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for reaching out. And sometimes I know it's awkward to ask people, but thank you for being brave and reaching out and asking me if I would do it. I really have enjoyed myself. Thank you so much for having me on, you guys. Carly, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the love.
Yeah. David, I will put you on hold. I want to ask you, besides jumping in the swimming pool, what is the other craziest thing you've ever done?
I don't know if that's the craziest thing I've ever done. I tend to be somebody who doesn't necessarily filter what I say a lot. And I have become consciously aware that people have a frequency and a vibration and an energy, and mine tends to be very, very high, and I tend to just sort of do stuff that's physical, and it just feels good. Like when I was a little kid, I would look at my mom and say, "Hey, Mom, look," and I'd go, 1, 2, 10, but in French. I didn't speak English till I was 3. And before she'd have a chance to say, "Leanne, no, don't," I'd already be on the ground and running around to do it again. And, you know, my mom's heart's in her mouth thinking, "Oh, my God, she's going to crack her head open." Well, I mean, I did that too. But, you know, 99 times out of 100, I landed on my feet like a cat. So I really have no fear. I think it's one of the times where I had unbridled energy flow, and I just allowed myself to do what I had the impulse to do. It didn't hurt anybody, you know. It was a little kooky. So I just,
my grandparents had a farm, and they had this great, perfect swing set, and everyone was jumping out of the swing, and I'm clumsy, and everyone told me not to do it because I will probably kill myself. And but when someone tells me not to do something, that just makes me want to do it so much more. So my grandfather gave me a couple of pussies on the train, and he goes, I'm going back to feed the cows, so please don't do anything stupid in 10 minutes. And I was 8. And I'm like, okay. And the swing was going really high, and I jumped out of it, and I hit the tree with my leg, and I ended up spraining my leg, and he ended up having to take me to the ER, and he didn't want my mom to find out because he thought my mom would never let him babysit me ever again.
Aww.
And so we just came up with the story that, you know, I kind of walked into a wall and sprained my ankle. We didn't come out with the, you know, I did the whole swinging thing 2 years and years and years later. And so
and what did she say did you tell her?
Yeah, looking back, I have nieces and nephews, and I tell them all the time, do not do that, please. And they go, why? I'm like, because I bet you're going to sprain your ankle if you like me, or you're probably going to get a concussion. And, you know what? I mean, what I think now, I mean, when, you know, I was growing up and a bunch of us were growing up, I mean, there was no social media, there was no Twitter, there was nothing. So basically, you could get
away. Right, so we played outside. That's right.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you could get away with a lot more, and
I see where you're coming from. Different angle.
You know, I love my soaps over anything, and I was in high school, and high school really, you know, yeah, lunch and visiting people was nice, but if they told me to go to science and math, well, my brain didn't go that far. Couldn't commute. I'm like, you know, I could be home in an hour watching General Hospital or days and just, you know, just cut school. And my brother would be nice enough to charge me $5 per note. And he would just forge the notes for me. And he goes, I can't believe you're skipping school and going home and watch TV. And I go, but you are going and skipping class too, so you can't give me your Alexa. So, like, years go by. No one knew we did this whole scam for, like, 2 years. No one knew this. My brother decided when he had his first 2 little girls that he had to come clean with my parents on stuff we did when we were growing up. And we were out for dinner, and he goes, Mom, Dad, we have something to tell you. And I go, no, we don't. And he goes,
wait, maybe you have something to tell them, but I don't. Did you kick him under the table? I would have kicked him really hard.
And
it's a good thing I don't have brothers and sisters, Charlie, because I would have tortured them.
Well, my grandma was having dinner with us that night. And she was, I'm like, Chris, come on, this is not a good time. And I go, this is what death does are for. And so he kills them. And I'm like, can I have another glass of wine? And my parents are looking at me like, is this true? And I go, you know, I'm going to take the fist on this whole thing. And you know, it was like 15 years after we did what we did, but they go, is there anything else we should know? Like, did you guys, like, do anything else stupid? I go, you mean besides going out at, you know, downtown theater at 2 in the morning when you thought I was sleeping? No.
My 30-year-old used to sneak out the bedroom window to go downtown to punk shows and stay out till like 4 in the morning, and I had no idea. And this, you know, thinking like, oh, I'm so slick, I would know. And he told me that he used to sneak out the window, and I thought, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, so what I've learned, people, and I'm saying this, if you have kids and or you are my age and you want to just feel about confessing everything to your parents, don't do it, because number one, it's really not the best thing, because, you know, they looked at you, they thought you were like the sweet and innocent little thing, and well, they come out to my brother and I, we're not so innocent, and you have kids, and so I'm just warning you that kids are smarter today than we were. And
oh, and
like
they have
my
more tools.
And my nephew, you know, come up with, like, all great things. I mean, my niece, you know, when we went shopping, decided to pickpocket my dad and for the credit card at 5 years old. I didn't know she took it. We were at Bath and Body Works. Yeah, Bath and Body Works. And I go, Sophie, honey, we don't have enough for all this. And she goes, yes, we do. And she whips out the credit card.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, this is not going to end up good for me. And my dad called me and goes, did you get my credit card by mistake? I go, honestly, Dad, I'm not the one that has it, because I didn't want to wear her.
And
out.
No, it wasn't a mistake. How about that one? That's the worst part. And it was not a mistake. She did it on purpose. She's 5 years old.
Yeah,
I feel bad for her boyfriend.
So then,
that's all. She,
you know,
better marry a rich man.
And got his credit card back, and then he, like, gave us, you know, extra 20, but then he goes, Sophie, why did you do that? He goes, oh, Pat, everyone knows when you have a credit card, you never have to pay it back. And I'm, like, thinking, you know,
okay, you don't get a credit card until you're, like, never.
You know, and I just want to warn you, I don't know if you still have teenagers, but like, all those video games and everything on the, you know, they play on their phone and they think, oh, this won't cost money, and then you get the bill of $200.
Carly.
You know.
Carly.
Just,
you know what?
My mom
is 95 years old, and she's got Parkinson's disease, and she shakes, and she's also got, you know, dementia. So, like, I cannot tell you until I finally had to get her a different television, because the Amazon Fire TV that we have, I kept looking at my emails and saying, what do you mean I bought Spider-Man in the Spideyverse for $39.90? What? And I'd go in and look at my mom and say, do you know that you just bought Spider-Man, the Spideyverse, like $40? She said, I certainly did not. I told them no. And I'm like, you did no such thing, because I, no. Okay. So, yeah. So I understand this. Like, it's not good for little children, and it's not good, bless their hearts, for elderly who have dementia and whose hands shake and who have the habit of holding the remote. So, yeah, so.
My grandma, who's in perfect health, but, you know, she's starting to kind of lose it, but not in a bad way. She's just the biggest thing, but.
But you know what? They're old. Can you imagine at 95 years old how many thoughts you have thought? Okay, we think 60 to 70,000 thoughts in a day. That's how many thoughts a brain can think, and does usually think rapid fire, that voice you hear in your head talking all day,
mm-hmm.
talk, all those thoughts. So multiply that by 365, and then multiply that by 95. How many thoughts you think are up in there?
Well, yeah, and my grandma is 92, and
okay.
My parents got a cell phone for safety reasons.
Yep.
And she started answering the phone while driving. And then my dad called her on the way home. Like, he was driving back, and she didn't know he was back there. And so now the rule is she's not allowed to drive with the cell phone. And she goes, but what if I miss the call? What am I going to do if I miss the call? And my dad goes,
you're
going to
miss all your calls. If you pick up that call, you might miss all the rest of them forever. for the one call you answer, just wait till you stop driving, and then everybody will wait. Because we love you, and we know what you have to say is important. Like, that's
well,
what
yeah.
I would say.
And so, you know, I mean, I feel so bad that your mom had dementia, and I
that's
mean,
okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, they can do, like, you know, things that they don't remember they've done or anything. But I just wanted to tell you because our time's kind of up, but we would love you to come back because now you're, like, one of my favorite guests. With, I'm not supposed to have favorite guests, but I do anyway because, after all, it's my show. So we would love having you back, and do you have any movies coming out, or are you doing any new shows, or are you just not doing acting for a while?
Well, I took about 30 years off to raise my kids, and Jack is the baby, so then my mom kind of needed my help. So I basically am in the process of finally settling into this New York apartment, and the whole time I've been writing music, and the whole time I've been taking my mom's music and trying to get it in film and television. So right now I'm just doing stuff that is sort of behind the scenes a little bit. And I have a lot of stories here that I want to develop. And so I'm cooking a bunch of stuff up. So I would say just, like, to be safe so that I don't be talking smack kind of and say, oh, yeah, in the next 6 months. But I have a lot of projects. And I would say that over the next 5 years, to be fair and give myself linear time, that you'll be hearing more from me. And I probably in a shorter amount of time will be starting a podcast about frequency and vibration and how our brains work and meditation and how we can sort of help ourselves by being more aware of our thoughts and feelings to try to be happier in general and not be so controlled by what we see, touch, taste, feel, and hear.
Well,
triggering.
When you start that, please come back so we can promote it. And, yes, please come back so we can promote it because I think that's an excellent thing for the podcast. And we would love it to help you get off the ground because I know I've been at this for 10 years. So, you know, it takes a while to get listeners and all that, believe me. You know, I feel like I'm married to the radio show, which is okay. It's a happy marriage, so I'm not going to complain. But, you know, but I would love for you to come back on and talk about that once you get that off the ground.
I so appreciate that. I am so grateful for your very, very warm and kind offer, Carly. I can't even tell you. And what I was going to say is when we're done for today, I would love to circle back maybe in a day or two and get more information because I'd love to send you some music like over the email that you can have and just, you know, just keep talking
oh, yeah.
to you a little bit.
I would
bit.
Love that. And tell you all if the other ones that come on to promote anything, she's more than welcome because I think she has the voice of an angel. And tell I totally agree with what you did about this letting her have her own career. And, you know, just saying Susan Lucy did the same thing for her daughter. She, you know, let her daughter keep her husband's name. And so a lot of people in daytime didn't even know that was Susan Lucy's daughter when she went out for the soaps. So, you know, I think you did a wonderful job, and I will send you my email after today's show. But thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so, so much for having me. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed spending my time with you guys. Please
exactly.
give Bobby and
Thank
David.
You and have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye, everybody. Nice talking to
Bye.
You. Thanks
Bye.
For listening.
Okay, everyone. That was Lainey Curtis. And I want to bring on the two boys.
Yeah. While David was talking to him, I managed to find out that 16 counts out in 1984.
How did you go, boys?
It
went
great.
Very good.
It went great.
Okay.
And I just ordered off of Netflix 16 Candles, so hopefully I'll get around to getting to that somewhere down the road so I can just remember if I've seen the film in its entirety. Because I couldn't find it streaming, so I just came across it on Netflix. So hopefully they can be able to send me out a copy and I'll just watch it at my own convenience.
Oh, okay. Also, we have some announcements. Oh, I have announcements, boys. Okay, tomorrow we are here from 11 o'clock. We are interviewing Devon Weaver. And that's at 11 o'clock. And I know you might be awake, Bobby. I'm not sure. It's 2 o'clock. Your time.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock my time, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make the interview. If I get off of work early, I can be able to. If she was on there last week, I probably would have made it because I got out at about around 15 minutes till 2 my time last week. So had you had her on at the scheduled time last week, I would have made the interview. But I'm not too sure if I'm going to be able to do it this week or not.
Okay, and my second announcement is we are interviewing Wally Curb on Wednesday at 3 p.m. I am so excited. I am just so excited to interview my Wally, my Justin in my head.
Is this 3 p.m. your time or 6 p.m. or 3 p.m.
my time. 3 p.m. my time. East Coast.
Yeah. And then Thursday we have T.C. Bono on at 5 my time, 8 you guide time, right?
Yeah.
David?
Yeah.
And Friday we have we have Tom Benson talking about his book. So just to know that we will be on our week long.
What time is
so
the Friday show?
We are busy people.
What time is the Friday show?
And I cannot wait to watch the No Hospital today because of Carson Renewal. I would say Days of Our Life was great on Friday. Yes, the two Christian Dan. Let's have a Christian taking down party.
So finally the young mass Christian realized that she was Nicole after all. I knew it.
And
I'm still behind.
Thomas went over the cliff on Friday, and people need to stop blaming Brooke because Brooke is my hero. Brooke was protecting her daughter, but I love Thomas going over the cliff. And you do not have a cliff right by your house, right by the beach, you know? So that's what's going on. So I want to rest my voice.
Carly, before we go off the air, what time is the interview on Friday?
6 my time, 8 your time.
Okay, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that or not. I might be out on a date, but I look forward to actually doing the other interviews. I'm not sure about the Devin interview yet. And but I definitely can make the other interviews this week. except for me.
Okay,
right,
well,
sorry,
I will talk to you all tomorrow. And just text me if you guys, you know, can't make it or whatever tomorrow, you know. And
right,
have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.